This is the Nightcap with Tim Murray and Super Bowl champion Sean King on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is the Nightcap here on VSiN. Look at this. Man already worked the show a full week, and I dragged him in. Anyways, Sean, I said, Matt Humans, what are you all right over there?
Yeah, I had to get my IFB, man.
Jeez. How long you been doing this show?
My IFB flew off.
It's like a quarterback who just fumbled the snap.
Yeah.
Looked like Geno Smith in overtime last
week. Oh, I'll trade with Geno right now. Direct deposit's looking real nice.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
That's the best job in sports until you have to play.
Backup quarterback.
Yeah, until you have to play.
How about Case Keenum?
Oh, man.
He's not a Baker Mayfield believer.
He's good. The one is the guy from Missouri.
Chase Daniel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know what? I know we're getting off topic a little bit, but quickly I'll say that going into last night's game, we talked about this on our show yesterday. I did not think Case Keenum was a downgrade from a banged up Baker Mayfield.
You two speak the same language over there.
We did a whole two segments on that. 14,000 yards, 75 touchdowns in the career. Much better when it becomes chaotic. Has the ability to stay calm. And that's why they won. They won because when Denver surrounded Case, he didn't blink. He didn't lead a pocket unnecessarily. Right. He stood in. He made accurate throws and just picked up first downs. And that's probably Baker's biggest deficiency.
And your coaching of De'Ernest Johnson is a big reason they won, too.
Absolutely. There are some elite coaches out there. And I would consider myself one.
Broncos might be looking for a coach.
Their time management in the fourth quarter was brutal. As bad as I've seen.
Brutal.
It's almost as bad as UNLV last night.
Wow, that was bad.
The only defense.
How do you run out of time when you have 7 minutes in the ball?
Three timeouts.
Right. That was a thing. And then, they've been bringing pressure, and, they had a five-man protection. They had no hot route to the side of the blitz.
Right.
I mean, the hot route was backside away from it. I'm looking at it like, are you serious?
Poorly coached team, UNLV. I said it last night. It's not no hyperbole. Marcus Arroyo is one of the worst coaches I've ever seen in college football. He has no idea how to manage a game. First of all, before the half last night, if you have no intention on trying to
kneel the ball, I said on the
show. Why aren't you taking a knee?
Take a knee.
Oh, that was brutal. We're watching it in the studio here, Matt.
I said it.
And it was 17-6, and we're like, wow, they're going to go into locker rooms up 11. Oh, no.
And what really magnified it for me was the play before the fumble.
Mm-hmm.
The running back was trying to break tackles.
Right.
And so I'm sitting here watching this they're not in two-minute offense. They're not trying to pick up chunk yards to maybe kick a long field goal. He going to mess around and fumble. And next play.
Sure enough.
Ball's on the ground. Instead of 17-6, it ends up being 17-13. All the momentum is back in the corner
That's
of San Jose
State.
That's
Little League stuff, man. Yeah. You can't make that mistake as a Little League coach. And then with 9 minutes to go in the game, 4th and 1, what are you doing sending out the kicker?
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, that's why the guy's 0-13.
It was they were covering and then they did.
Yeah, a new AD at UNLV too.
So
one that hired him is gone.
We do have a couple college games going on right now. Washington taking on Arizona. Isn't it nice, Matt? We've got a late night college football game. Isn't that nice?
Oh, this is beautiful.
God.
You know, I'm with
None
you. I'm upset about the Saturday night Ridiculous. Schedule. We do have one late night game. We got New Mexico State at Hawaii at 9:00.
It's not on television.
Well, you can find it.
I mean, we could find it somewhere, but
that
Nevada Fresno State. That is like the perfect. Put that game 7:30 on ESPN. Oh,
quarterbacks. Oh, your Hainer, NFL prospect.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hainer and Strong. That is a game. You know what I might do, honestly. I might record that game and then just not look
then
at
watch it later.
And not look at scores and just watch it as if it's live later. I might just do that. Why not?
I have to make
that's
a confession.
That's the kind of crazy Saturday nights we have at the Murray household.
I actually think that's a good idea. Might do the same.
I have to make a confession. Saturday's a real big hydration day. I'm not really cognizant of what's going on by that time anyway.
Speaking of the Saturday slate, it's It's something to bet on. That is true. We have the 4 unranked teams, favorites over ranked teams. We've talked about these games quite a bit. You've got UCLA over Oregon. You've got Iowa State laying 7 over Oklahoma State. You've got Air Force as a 3.5-point favorite. Is that down to 3 now? Favorite against San Diego State. And then you've got Wisconsin against Iowa in a massive letdown spot for the Boilermakers. I went back, Matt, and I looked. I was like, what did Purdue do
after they beat Ohio State? They lost to Michigan State the
lost
next
by
week.
10. Yeah. They were on the road, but that wasn't a very good Michigan State team. Do you think Wisconsin does a similar thing on Saturday?
You know, it's interesting because I took Purdue plus 12 last week, but I did not think Purdue was going to win the game.
No, right? I did not.
You know, I thought it was going to be a 3-point, 7-point, 10-point game where Iowa was going to grind it out. Typical Iowa game where you get below average quarterback play and the defense wins it for you. This is a classic letdown spot for Purdue, but like unlike the last time you mentioned, Boilermakers were on the road at Michigan State. Sean King, Sparty,
baby,
and
let's go.
I think you're more likely to have a letdown when you go on the road. When you're home, the crowd's going to be jacked up. I think they get you up for the game. Plus, Purdue's lost 14 in a row to Wisconsin, and Jeff Brohm's going to be talking about that all week. I'm conflicted on this game because typically I would play Wisconsin in this spot, and I got a small bet on the Badgers on the money line when it was -3 this week at like -170, I think, but Here's some reasons why I'm not crazy about that bet. Purdue is now playing its better quarterback, who's Aiden O'Connell, right, a former walk-on. He's a more accurate passer.
Right. Now, what Brohm was doing early in the season.
Right, right. So, Purdue's playing a better quarterback. Purdue's defense has really improved.
Karloftis is going to be a first-round pick, maybe top 10 pick.
Yeah, George Karloftis, probably a first-round pick. David Bell, the wide receiver, might be a first-round pick. Yep. So, Purdue's got some big-time talent. The defense is top 15 in the nation. Purdue cannot really run the ball. Wisconsin's got the number one ranked rush defense, but I think Purdue can pass on them. Purdue is going to be able to throw on the Badgers, but the Badgers aren't going to be able to run against Purdue. I think this Wisconsin offense is so bad,
it's
just tough for me to back the Badgers. And I can't make a big bet on it. Like I said, I got Wisconsin on a small bet. I could see this being a 17-16 type of game. I think it's going to be an ugly game dominated by defense. But I'm not going to be that surprised if Purdue wins, even in this letdown spot, because – Purdue is playing a better quarterback now, is at home, so the letdown is less likely, and I think Jeff Brohm is going to have his team ready to play here.
Here's why this isn't a letdown game, in my opinion.
Okay.
Because you only have to get to about 14 points against Wisconsin to have a legit shot to
win. That's true.
And they have Bell is probably one of the best players in college football, the receiver at Purdue. And let me give you some statistics for Graham Mertz. He's rushed for a combined -36 yards on the season.
Is that good?
In his last,
that's Sean King.
In his last
numbers.
Three contests versus Army, Illinois, and Michigan, he's thrown for 115, 100, and 112 yards. On the season, he's thrown 2 touchdowns and 7 picks. Like, letdown or no letdown, you generally lose these games when the other team can score. Like, I don't know how Wisconsin gets over 14. The 17 points. So let's just say Purdue sleepwalks through the first half. I still think they're good enough offensively throwing the ball, you know, to put up some points late. So right.
Purdue can't run, though. I mean, they are going to be completely one-dimensional.
Well,
let
you
game.
Tell it, Wisconsin's the 85 Bears versus the run. So they're
pretty
even
good.
Try to run.
They're number 2 in the country against the run.
I mean, this is a classic game. Sean King's been in games like this where you have to use the pass to set up the run.
Yeah.
You're going to have to stretch the
throw
defense
the ball
all over the field and make that Wisconsin defense – defend the whole field, and then you can run the ball a little bit on them.
Iowa lost because they finally played a competent quarterback that made it through the whole game.
And because they're frauds.
If Sean Clifford doesn't get hurt, Penn State beats him.
Yeah, you're right. It was 17-3.
Penn State handed them that game. I mean, look, you deserve credit for forcing turnovers, but at some point there is a sense of luck.
Tua threw, what, 5 picks against Iowa?
That's right. Yeah.
They went to Iowa State. Purdy played so bad he got benched.
Yep.
I mean, Penix, I don't know if Penix forgot. I mean, first of all, you can't blame Indiana for anything that happens this season. Anytime the equipment people spell the name of the university wrong to start the season, I mean, how can you go up from there? So, I mean.
Hey, by the way, quick last thing on Mertz.
Yeah.
You were at the Wisconsin-Notre Dame game. I think after that game, Paul Chris said, we're not going to put the game in Graham Mertz's hands
at all.
That's it. That's why he's through for, what, 100, 110, 120 yards? Wisconsin's not letting him lose the game.
Yeah, no. I mean, he got hurt against Michigan, and then
But this is what happens. This is a big picture. This is what happens in college when you choose a player that hasn't performed because of the perception. So Graham Mertz for Wisconsin was one of the highest rated kids they've ever signed. So because of that, they chose him. And you can't say he was better than Jack that's at Notre Dame or some of the other quarterbacks in that battle. And now it's costing them.
Yeah.
Because they have a good enough team to be 4-2, 5-1 most likely. But when your quarterback can't perform, it's hard to win.
NBA season, folks, it's already tipped off. There is still great time to grab our VSiN Pro Basketball Betting Guide. You write in this? You had to have been part of this.
I made some picks.
Yeah, I made some picks. Right. It has strategies, predictions, best bets to stay ahead of odds makers, our hoop experts, including JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel, who is Matt Eumann's co-host on The Edge weekdays from 1 to 2 Pacific, provides strategy and advice as well as predictions for conference winners, win totals, playoff teams, and player awards. This digital guide is a must-have, so give yourself a betting edge this season. Get a copy now. It's only $9.99, folks. VSiN.com/subscribe. You know, I consider this a very productive first segment with Matt Eumann in studio. We talked about UNLV football for about 5 minutes.
Case Keenum,
and one game. So we're off to a great start. Do you have anything in baseball? Where do you stand on baseball right now before we hit a break?
Well, I'm a Yankees fan. I wanted to see the Red Sox get knocked out tonight. So that's it. Let's KO the Red Sox and put the Astros in the World Series. And Sean King just revealed some breaking news here before the show. Mad Max Scherzer is not going to start for the Dodgers in Game 6. So that's
right.
Definitely got to impact the way you look at that game tomorrow.
There's no doubt about that. For my Braves 16-1 future, I'm cool with that news. That works. That works for me. That's Sean King. You know this guy. That's Matt Eumann. It's the Nightcap. We're coming on back after this here on VSiN.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Indeed helps find great hires fast. Indeed is your all-in-one platform for interviewing, screening, and hiring high-quality people. Visit Indeed.com/credit. What do we got going on over there, Sean?
Anthony Davis and Dwight Howard almost in a fisticuff on the bench.
They are teammates.
I know.
That seems ideal.
Man, what is going on in L.A.?
Well, one was named to the top 75, one wasn't, and I guess that's what they're fighting about. I don't know. So
how about
Dwight Howard's top 75?
Well, I think so, yeah.
You sure?
I don't know about that. Who is it? StatMuse put up on Twitter their credentials sitting side by side. ADs are slightly better. I don't know. This is a serious injury.
Yeah.
I believe it's a Washington player. I don't know who it was, but they are still tending to the Washington player. 3-0, Arizona leading with a 26 seconds to go in the first quarter. Matt Newman's kind enough to hang out with us. Spider came by, one of the fine bartenders here at Mega Bar, dropped off a present for you.
Yeah, it's courtesy of Derek Stevens. 3 Budweisers. I think 1 for each person, not 3 for me.
I definitely don't drink Bud.
You know? Okay.
I'm a Mick Ultra guy.
Oh, man. You mentioned staying hydrated.
Yeah, he's drinking water.
Ice cold. So here's my history with beer. Because I'm a high bourbon, high-end, you know, Scotch whiskey guy.
You're a starting quarterback NFL guy.
Well, not then. I was drinking cognac then. I didn't know any better. So I only like really ice cold Mick Ultra, and I really only drink it if I'm eating like really spicy chicken wings. Like that's my beer consumption.
All right.
I respect you for telling that story. I'll just leave it at that. I like beer.
He asked me if I ever had an IPA when we first got together. I didn't know what that was.
I can understand that.
Yeah.
I mean, I started drinking Bud when I was about 12, and I've never stopped.
Yeah.
I
respect IPAs that, either, though, because you didn't go to, like, Bud Light or Bud Zero or Bud Select.
No.
Bud
Zero. No light beer. Yeah. I can't touch light beer.
All right, let's try to get in maybe a game or two here in this segment.
You want to rip through as many? What do you want to do?
NFL, whatever.
Or college.
Whatever you.
Whatever. I got a bunch of games we can talk about, so you fire away.
I got your list here. Okay. NFL, actually college, I just want to hit on this game because this is a game I wrote up for VSiN.com. You're on the side I'm on, so buyer beware, I guess. I like UCLA in this spot. I think it's a good matchup for them. You look at how Charbonnet's been running. DTR's been playing really well at the quarterback position. Played well last week against Washington on the road. And if UCLA, which is a top 10 rush defense, can take away Travis Dye and limit him and make Anthony Brown beat you through the air, I really like UCLA's chances. So what do you see about UCLA-Oregon on Saturday?
I don't think the UCLA defense is going to be able to take away Travis Dye. He had 145 yards last week against a pretty good Cal defense. Not a great Cal, not a typical Justin Wilcox defense, but I think UCLA is a little bit too soft defensively to just take something away like that. But, last week UCLA held Washington to season low 267 yards. Is that a big deal? Probably not, because the Washington offense is so pedestrian. But I still think UCLA is good enough offensively to outscore Oregon in this game. I see one team trending up and the other trending down. And I kind of thought after that win at Ohio State that the Ducks were going to take a step back. They kind of put it on cruise control for a couple weeks, and they lost their rhythm. And they went to Stanford. And I was on Stanford in that game, and they lost that week. What I see here is Zach Charbonnet, he had 131 yards rushing last week. That's pretty much been the norm for him. Mm-hmm. I love this Chip Kelly. That's his signature offense is you got to be able to run the football. And Dorian Thompson-Robinson as a quarterback can run the ball. And he has
7 yards last week.
Yeah, what's great, too, is he has not been turning it over like he had in the past. And he's the most experienced starting quarterback in the Pac-12. So I like DTR. I think the defense has improved a little bit. But this game is – it's business, but it's also personal for Chip Kelly. He was 46-7 in 4 years at Oregon. He's 0-2 against the Ducks as UCLA coach. Last year as a 17-point underdog. I thought he had that game won up in Eugene, and they lost it late, lost 38-35. I think the Bruins are trending up, and I like him to outscore Oregon. I don't think the defense is going to shut the Ducks down, but I think UCLA can win this game similar to how it beat LSU early in the season.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is going to be a fun game to watch. Another situation, unranked team favorite over a ranked team. Oregon comes in number 10 in the country. Jumping over to...
Before you move on, to me, this is an in-game bet kind of game.
You could.
Just wait till it starts and see how it's going. I normally would take the home team, but UCLA don't really have a great home environment. You know, it's not going to be any issues for Oregon from a noise standpoint. And then you got two quarterbacks. Brown is capable of throwing the ball at a high level, also capable of not being able to hit the wall that's 10 feet in front of him. Same with Dorian Thompson. So kind of get the first quarter out of the way, get a feel for who's playing, you know, with their A game, and then in game Bennett. A game like this, that's kind of how I would approach it.
In a back-and-forth game like this, yeah, you could probably get a better number than UCLA minus one, you know, which is what I bet it at, but you never know that for sure.
Yeah, that is true.
But I think in a lot of games that's a pretty good approach, Sean.
Couple NFL games. Actually, I think, Sean, you like this spot. I like it, too. Sunday Night Football, we've got the Colts getting 4 at most spots. It's actually down to 3.5 here with San Francisco. Jimmy G is back. You like the Colts, the road dog here. Another primetime dog. Now, the dog didn't cover last night. I guess it depends on when you got it. If you got it early in the week, you were able to get a cover with the Broncos. But Colts getting 4 on the road on Sunday night.
I don't love anything in the NFL this week, to be honest. I don't have any big bets, but I do like the Patriots-Packers teaser. I played that where you have Patriots minus one, Packers minus two.
If you win that, I'd be very happy.
Because you have it too.
I have Broncos-Packers and Broncos-Patriots. So, yes, I would be very happy. That is going to be a very, very popular teaser this week.
I'm disappointed in the Patriots. They had 5 home games in the first 7 weeks, and the 2 road games are against the Jets and Texans. You got to start better than 3-4 in those 7 weeks. But the Patriots not going to lose this week 7 game to the Jets. Patriots-Packers teaser. I like the Colts plus 4. I don't love it, but Carson Wentz is playing at a high level. Past 2 games, 36 for 55, 625 yards, 4 touchdowns, no picks. If he doesn't turn the ball over, and the 49ers, by the way, have forced a league-low 2 turnovers on defense. The defense is not really putting pressure on the quarterback, not forcing turnovers like it had in the past in San Francisco. I'll let Sean talk about the quarterbacks. I think Kyle Shanahan has misplayed his hand here with Jimmy G and Trey Lance. Trey Lance doesn't have any idea how to put touch on his passes. He fires everything as hard as he can. He's still got a lot to learn about playing the position. Jimmy G's confidence has got to be rattled a little bit because he's always looking over his shoulder, knowing his coach can't wait to replace him. San Francisco is in a better spot here, though, as a desperate home favorite off a three-game losing streak and off a bye, and I don't like to bet against those sort of situations. But I did take the Colts plus four for a decent bet.
I just think Trey Lance is going to go down with that organization as one of the worst draft picks in a long time. For what they gave up.
Yeah, they gave up a lot.
To move up to three to take him. I just don't think he's anywhere near to being ready to play winning football in the National Football League. And I'm willing to take the Colts on the money line in this game because they aren't playing the San Francisco 49ers. They're playing the Bay Area 49ers. The San Francisco 49ers are all on IR. Like, I just, this is a team that's been decimated at almost every position by injuries. I don't think Garoppolo's fully healthy. I think Trey Lance getting hurt versus Arizona and them not wanting to send him out there at less than healthy is why Garoppolo's playing. So I don't have any faith or confidence in San Francisco. I'm going to roll with the Colts. And we kind of talked about this the other day on the show, Matt. In the NFL, inside the locker room, you break the season into quarters. And so the Colts are looking at this second quarter. I know it's 17 games instead of 16 now. But they're looking at this second quarter as a chance to get back in the playoff hunt. So they're going to be locked in. You're going to get the best version. That, remember now, they really outplayed the Ravens in the first half. And if Frank Reich doesn't get conservative like he did in the fourth quarter, they win at Baltimore. And everybody thinks Baltimore is a AFC title game type of team. So I'm going to roll with what I think is a better team who's getting better because I think the public – and listen, the line scared me. I definitely – that made me nervous. But, again, I think people are still looking at the Colts for what they were the first three, 4 weeks of the season when they couldn't buy a victory.
I think Colts have a lot high upside.
They do.
Once they by the way, Quentin Nelson's coming back on the offensive line. When you get T.Y. Hilton back, these guys are going to – I think the Colts can win that division.
Because they're talented.
Yeah, they are. I think they can win that division. Don't forget, Sean, I know, and I'm sure you remember too, Tim, a couple of years ago was Frank Reich's first year. The Colts started 1-5 and then won 9 of the last 10 and made the playoffs. I think this team could do that as well. The Colts have a lot of high upside here.
Braden Smith ruled out, but that's good news long-term here. Braden Smith, their tackle, he was practicing today. So he's back on the practice field. He's not active yet, but... they're slowly but surely. I think
I need to send Frank an actual pamphlet because I still haven't forgotten.
We're gonna have to do one more.
How he lost
more college games.
Yeah, how he lost the
it's
game.
It's up to you. I know you've got Budweiser's to drink. If you want to hang around for one more segment, we can. I think we can make that happen. So Matt Eumanns,
I'm gonna say one thing before about what he said about Trey Lance. I believe the Niners traded up to draft Mac Jones. And the more they watched film with Trey Lance, they changed their mind and thought that Lance had a higher upside as a mobile quarterback, and I think they will regret that decision.
And the Houston Astros just hit a three-run
it's
homer.
Over. Send the Red Sox home.
In the bottom of the eighth, the Astros are this close to going to the World Series.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
First Bet wants you to get ready for the Breeders' Cup with a chance to win $1,000 in free bets. Go to vsin.com/horses to enter for your chance to win. The grand prize winner will have $1,000 deposited into their account before Friday, November 5th, just in time for the Breeders' Cup. There are plenty of runner-up prizes as well, so sign up today, vsin.com/horses. Terms and conditions apply, vsin.com/horses. More information. It is the Nightcap. We have convinced Matt Eumanns to hang around for another segment on a Friday night. That's Sean King over there. You know, Sean, he's going to be going to the Breeders' Cup.
I am.
The big, big horse guy. Are you going?
No, not during football and college hoop season.
Oh, that's right. College hoops will have started.
Man. I hit the horse track several times over the summer, but when football and college hoops converge, forget about it. That's not happening.
Well, Breeders' Cup's 2 days, and, like, I don't know. I want to go act like I'm big time for, like, 20 hours.
I've tried to convince this guy I'm like, let's drive down on this Thursday, his former team, the Arizona Cardinals, hosting the Green Bay Packers. He won't do it. He won't do it. Just a day trip. Go down, spend the night.
And I want to wait till the Monday night game in December.
Yeah.
Maybe we play the Rams. That'll be fun.
Because I want to go Saturday and golf and, you know, make a weekend of it. He wants to drive down and turn around and come back.
Oh, no,
let's do both.
No,
we'll spend the night on Thursday, but let's do both.
No,
Packers, Aaron Rodgers.
Did you bring me anything back from Hawaii?
I did. Yeah. I bought you a lei. All right, Matt Heumann's hanging out. Let's not waste any more of Matt's time. Let's get back into college football. You know, Matt, This is one of the more fascinating situational spots that's ever happened, in my opinion, because not only did a coach get fired, but four of the assistants got fired, and that would be what happened at Washington State. Yeah. So we've talked about this game quite a bit here on the show. I grabbed three when the news came out. South Point was the final three in the market, at least here in Vegas. I grabbed that on, what was that, Tuesday night? Monday night? Might have been Monday night. And I go back and forth because last night we had Chris Andrews on. He said ticket count's about 8-1, but the money is pretty much split between Washington State and BYU. The number sitting at 4, you know, the mindset is there was really no game plan, right? They played on Saturday. Mm-hmm. They had a nice win, and now five of their coaches are gone. And it's not like this is Alabama with a plethora of analysts up there in Pullman, Washington. So is this a spot to ride with the Cougars? Well, I guess they're both Cougars. Is this a spot to ride with BYU, or do you think this is getting out of hand with 4 for Washington?
Tim, I guarantee you the Cougars cover this game. Yeah.
Lock of the century.
You know, I bet BYU, but it's not a big bet. And the reason why is what we saw last week with the Raiders. Mm-hmm. You know, it looked like the Raiders were going to be a team in chaos all week with all the distractions around John Gruden. This week you would think, well, Nick Rolovich is out. You know, several of the assistants are gone. It's going to affect the preparation for this game. How's the team going to be prepared on Saturday? Probably not that well. But we saw the Raiders play one of their best games last week after the coaching change. Who knows? You know, I think sometimes these kids rally and say, hey, we got a point to prove. We're going to go out and play hard anyway. I think college kids are really resilient. And maybe we're all making a little bit too much of the Rolovich factor. So I didn't bet it big, but I did play BYU here because Washington State's going to have to prove it to me that without the coaches and without the assistants that you can show up on Saturday and play a good game against a – by the way, I like this BYU team a lot. And I know the Cougars had a couple setbacks recently, but they played a tough schedule, man. BYU's quarterback's been beat up, but they have talented quarterbacks that played a tough schedule. I think BYU goes on the road and wins this game, but I also don't think it's going to be easy necessarily.
I think I'm with you. I think something's wrong with Jaren Hall. I just was going and look up.
He had a rib injury.
Yeah, right? He started the first three games. He threw 7 touchdowns. Yeah. Since he's come back from injury in the last 2, he's only thrown 2. So it looks like he's not completely healthy, but he's trying to fight his way through it. And I think he needs to be healthy for them to go to Washington State and win. I think those players, that's a distraction that existed before the firing that because of where Pullman is located, never really made national headlines. Because this has been ongoing for a while. Rolovich not wanting to get the vaccine and stuff. So I actually think it's going to be a relief for the players. And Washington State had really started to turn the corner.
Yeah, they
won 3 straight. And they beat Stanford, Cal, and Oregon State. So it's like they beat 3 like teams. I know Cal's, like I said, they're the best
one-win team in the country.
They're the best one-win team in the country, by the way. But Stanford.
Is that UConn?
Yeah, UConn. Matter of fact, UConn's just get rid of football. Just make it like an intramural deal on campus if the kids want to participate and put those resources into men's and women's basketball. But if I had a better feel for how Jaren Hall is health-wise, because I think something's wrong with him.
You know, I haven't bet this game. You mentioned Oregon State. I haven't bet this game, and we always do, Matt, on Wednesdays. We find maybe the letdown spots. And I left this off, and I shouldn't have, because you think back to last week, and I was on Utah. I think you were on Utah.
For sure.
What an emotional week it was for those young men. They had to go bury their teammate. Mm-hmm. They come back. They're down 14-0. They rattle off 35 straight. Great performance. Great win. And now you got to go on the road to Corvallis. Oregon State's no slouch. I know they've been struggling a little bit lately.
We lost one game.
But Oregon State getting points at home. I think this is an intriguing spot. Could be a letdown spot. I haven't bet it yet, but I'm looking. The trigger finger's itchy here to take the points.
I have bet it. I played the Beavers plus 3. I played them in a contest plus 3.5. And I've been big on Utah since Cameron Rising took over at quarterback because I think that the team felt like, hey, we got a fresh start. Mm-hmm. You know, now that the Baylor transfer
Charlie Brewer
is gone, he quit. He's been benched. He quit the team. Cameron Rising comes in. Utah had not lost a Pac-12 game yet. So they had all their goals in front of them still for the most part. Cameron Rising has been great. He's been a dual threat, 3-0 since he's become the starter. Here's the deal. Even though I've been on Utah the past couple weeks, I like Oregon State here because it's a sandwich spot in the schedule. You just talked about the two big emotional games that Utah just played, including last week. This is kind of a letdown spot on the road because next week you got the biggest Oregon game left in the Pac-12 South, UCLA Utah, Salt Lake City. And you can't tell me some of those kids aren't thinking about, hey, we got UCLA coming to town. That's going to decide the Pac-12 South next week. Meanwhile, you got Jonathan Smith, who's a hell of a coach, sitting there off a bye week with the Beavers 3-0 at home. As home dogs, I think this is a really dangerous home dog, Oregon State.
Didn't Cameron Rising go to Texas out of high school? Yeah, that's what I thought. I remember that was a big battle between Oklahoma and Texas. He's from California, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he started last year, and then Charlie Brewer came in, won the job. That couldn't have gone over well in that locker room.
And Charlie Brewer was at Baylor.
Baylor, right? Yeah, Baylor transfer. And you know, Oregon was a very popular Pac-12. When William Hill came out with their Pac-12 futures, they were a very popular pick. I want to say they started 12-1 or something like that.
I bet Utah 10-1 to win the Pac-12.
Yeah, yeah, it was a good
spot.
But
you could have had 14-1 at one point. Whew, there,
yeah. Man.
Just an update on the baseball game. The Houston Astros
one out away
for tonight was 4.5.
Ah,
so
that
if you took
run
the over on the Astros, you got it. Nice. If you took the over for the game, you need Jesus right now. But
Arizona, by the way, just scored. Arizona, 18-point dog tonight at home against Washington. They lead 9-0. Extra point pending there with 8:16 to go. I do want to go back. You love the Mountain West. You know it very, very well. And we've got Nevada and Fresno State this weekend. I love this game. We had Sean Merriman. Astros have won. They're going on to the World Series. We had Sean Merriman in the studio. He said he's going to be at this game. Lorenzo Neal's getting his jersey retired. So a little shindig there at halftime. Fresno laying 3 at home against Nevada. It's funny. I look at your picks each week. One week you're on Nevada. One week you're fading Nevada. So this week you're going with Jake Haener, huh?
Yeah, and I've been right on Nevada.
I know
much
you've
every
been
week.
You've had the pulse of that team really well.
On or against?
I had them last week against Hawaii. They won that game.
I like Fresno a little bit in this game, but I got to tell you, it's funny because I've been right about Fresno almost every week too. But now these teams converge, and I don't really have a strong opinion. I did play Fresno -3, and the reason mostly is that Nevada's run defense has been bad recently. It was exposed at Kansas State, and it was exposed last week against Hawaii. The first two times a Hawaii running back touched the ball, 75 yards, touchdown, 80 yards, touchdown. I'm like, what the hell's going on here? And that's one thing the Bulldogs can do well. Jake Haener's a mobile quarterback. Ronnie Rivers is a big play running back. So I think that's where Fresno State's strength works against Nevada's weakness. That said, I love this Nevada team, and at 3.5, I wouldn't lay the 3 in the hook with Fresno. I think this is going to be a tight game down to the wire. Jake Haener's got 20 touchdown passes. Carson Strong has 16. I think Carson Strong's going to get a look as a possible first-round draft pick.
I agree.
Haener's going to be up there.
You like Haener, too.
Yeah, I do, if Haener's healthy.
Haener's just a...
Haener's body has to be beat up.
He's just a badass. That UCLA game, he was just a badass in that game.
That was a big-time performance. Yeah, I think
his hip was all hurt, and he was out there just slinging.
My one concern here, Fresno, if you watched the Wyoming game last week, had a lot of guys limp off the field. They're a beat-up team off that Wyoming game. But that's one I'm looking forward to. I also played New Mexico State, Hawaii over 59.5 in the late game tomorrow night.
Of course you did.
Check out Aggies quarterback Jonah Johnson, 106 pass attempts in the last two games, 725 yards, 6 touchdowns. I think you got 2 offenses that want to play fast against 2 weak defenses.
Go enjoy those Budweisers.
All right.
That is Matt Eumanns. Check him out each and every weekday with JVT on the Edge. That's Sean. I'm Tim. We'll be back after this. Astros headed to the World Series.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is the Nightcap here on VSiN. Tim Murray and Sean King with you. And folks, the Sports Betting National Championship is coming up November 5th through the 7th, and VSiN will provide coverage from the main event all weekend long, including live on-location updates for all the action. Visit VSiN.com/SBNC for more information. and learn how you can enter for a chance to test your skills and win cash, including a $1 million top prize at VSiN.com/SBNC. It is the nightcap here on VSiN. Thanks again to Matt Humans for coming in. Man, we've just been rolling through people here, Sean. We haven't had any time to just hang out and chat.
True, man.
Thanks to Derek Stevens and Big Balls hanging out with us. Charge coming on for a segment, and then Matt Humans coming down for a Friday night. So the Houston Astros are going on to the World Series. They beat the Red Sox 5-0. A great pitching performance here this evening by the Astros. So the Astros going back to the World Series. Lone person I'm happy for is Dusty Baker. The rest of the cheaters, I'm indifferent on, but good win. And Garcia came out and was terrific. Out of the start tonight, 5 2/3, one hit, no runs, 7 strikeouts. I mean, he had gotten lit up earlier in the series. So good win for the Astros. They step up. You know, Eovaldi wasn't bad, but at the end of the day, wasn't good enough because the Astros were able to get a run off him, and that's all they needed. So the Astros on to the World Series.
Yep. Banksy's Edmonton Oilers.
Score now,
3-2. Winning at the end of the second.
3-2?
Yep. Ah, man, we could have beat the Astros, too. The Red Sox got there and blew it. Me being our Raves, but that's okay. It's always next year.
Now, someone told me that take the Red Sox on the run line tonight. Yeah. I don't know who that was.
Eovaldi, I base it all on Eovaldi, and Eovaldi pitched lights out. I mean, what did he give up? One earn?
One earn through 4 1/3.
I mean, but I didn't know if Dwight Gooden, a.k.a. Garcia, was going to go out there and pitch. I mean, like he did. I mean, hey, what can you say? I took the over in the game, so I lost.
Ooh. That's the first time this series it didn't hit.
Yeah.
First time. First five games it went through. So the Astros now wait, and we'll see if they get the Braves. And, you know, this Dodgers team, I'm not going to call them cursed because they won the World Series last year and they've got ridiculous talent up and down that roster. But they're banged up, man. You know, Joe Kelly gets hurt yesterday in the first inning. He's out for the rest of the playoffs. Justin Turner's out for the playoffs. We already knew about Clayton Kershaw, Max Muncy. So this team continues to get nicked and bruised. And now the news that you mentioned earlier in the show.
Max Scherzer
is not going to start tomorrow night. That is a quite stunning development in this series. He started game two, 79 pitches through 4 1/3. After the game, Scherzer said his arm was dead. 3 days earlier, he had thrown 13 pitches to close out game five of the NLDS against the Giants. And he said, I could tell when I was warming up that it was still tired. I don't know what the Dodgers do, Sean, because
they just did a bullpen game. So I'll say this. I'm going to turn my attention to the other team. If you're the Braves,
get it done
you
tomorrow.
You have to get this done. I mean, you can't be fooling around. Like, you got to get this done tomorrow at 2 o'clock Pacific time. I mean, you laid an egg yesterday against the bullpen. You're going to get, looks like, the same bullpen, trying to get through a whole 9 innings again. I mean, they need to really lock in and focus and close this thing out because they've gotten, if you went into this series pulling for the Braves, you've gotten every opportunity possible to beat the Dodgers. So they need to go ahead and make that happen.
And you look at, you mentioned yesterday, they had 7 relievers used yesterday. Now, you got the day off, the travel day, so that helps. But, you know, as Jorge Castillo wrote in the LA Times, realistically, you're looking at Walker Buehler on short rest. He went 4 1/3 referencing when he went on short rest, in the NLDS when he went 4 1/3. Julio Urias pitched 5 innings in game 4. Can't imagine he's available. Or you go with Tony Gonsolin or David Price. I mean, those are your options, and they're not ideal. So, you know, you were hoping you avoided elimination in Game 5 at home, and now you've got an opportunity to go to Atlanta with Max Scherzer and Walker Buehler. That's a pretty good spot to be in, and that's what we talked about on the show last night, that it was a missed opportunity for the Braves going up against a bullpen game. But now it seems like there's another bullpen game ahead. So you've got Ian Anderson starting for the Braves. This is a good spot. I mean, once again, get it done on Saturday, because you don't want to mess around. If Walker Buehler, now we don't know, maybe he goes on short rest tomorrow and he's able to pitch five innings and they're able to bubblegum this thing to game seven, but then you're at game seven, maybe Max Scherzer's fully rested then. Who knows? But the situation for the Dodgers just continues to really get worse.
Yeah, it's all set itself up for my Rays and my future bet to cash, and we couldn't get past Boston. So I'm pretty frustrated about that, as you can tell.
I mean, I'm not. I have Braves 16-1, so yeah. I'm okay. I'm happy where we sit right now. Still got to take care of business. They got to finish off the Dodgers, and then, you know, get the.
Well, I'm pulling for you, man.
Get the drum beaters over there.
That's a good call.
Yeah.
You know,
it was. Now,
the Braves have got to handle their business. They're going to be heavy favorites to the Astros in the finals. But when you made that bet, if you'd say they're in the World Series, would you take it? Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Just taking a look at Kenny White's best play of the week. And both Sean and I tailed Mr. White on this play, his advice. The crazy part about this game is the team that's doing the scoring is the team that's an 18-point underdog, Sean. Under 3 minutes to go in the second quarter. I mean, I like where we sit right now.
I do.
Because it's 10-0. I don't want a touchdown. That would make me a little worried. I'd love a turnover. That would be great.
Yeah, like a bad sack here on third down, make them punt.
Yeah. So, but Arizona, I mean, silly me looking at this number and as much as I've watched of Washington. I know Arizona's no good, but Sean, Washington went off as a 17-point favorite. They can't move the ball.
I started to take Arizona in this game, especially them being at home in Tucson. They've kind of been a little scrappier lately.
Yeah.
But, you know, I let the line talk me out of playing the game, but I did like the under two, so.
Yeah, we're with it. Yeah. We're on under 46.5, so. Look, we're happy where we sit. We'd appreciate no points here, but
we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
we got to find out. Can somebody in the back too find out what exactly happened with the Lakers?
Yeah, the AD Dwight Howard situation.
Anthony Davis and Dwight Howard got into a little scuffle on the bench, and AD looked pretty upset. It had to be something that Dwight said. Looks like he was trying to tell Dwight about a defensive rotation or a box out or something, and Dwight didn't take kindly to it. So that'll be the focal point of all the talk shows.
It seemed like, and also they're getting their doors blown off.
They are. They are getting blasted.
The only thing that works in their favor is that it's Friday night and that the screaming shows.
Something will happen in football.
Yeah, the screaming shows will not talk about this tomorrow. They'll probably play a game this weekend. But
Hold on, not so fast. Let me see what their schedule is like. Do they get an opportunity to?
Well, they're already. Yeah, they're going to head to 0-2.
Yeah, they play Sunday, so they'll get a chance to prove that everything's okay before getting exposed.
And once again, like you said, it's going to be this happening on a Friday was a gift, because if this happened on a Tuesday, everybody would be talking about it. They're the Lakers, so see what people will still talk about it.
As they should.
They look awful.
How are you guys fighting in week two? Good Lord. Oh, man.
Come on, you never gotten a dust up on the bench?
In week two? Jeez.
Things are going well.
In game two, not even week two. Yeah. Like the season
week
started
one.
Tuesday. We're at Friday. It's their second game.
Oh, man. That's some good stuff.
I fully expect LeBron to retire midseason.
He's like, man, this is year 19 for me.
Yeah.
LeBron, Jordan played, what, like 15 years?
Yeah. We've got what we won in Arizona. Me and Tim have under 46.5. Arizona has a fourth.
13. Big field goal, about 49-yarder here. But we got to stop, so we'll get that going. This won't be on our bankrolls, but we do have our bankrolls
to come. My bankroll is fire.
Oh, really?
Dogs barking everywhere. And you know,
you've been playing a lot of favorites lately.
And you know,
Mr.
when
dog
I go
Pound
with the dog, like I go all the way 10 toes down. So I'm going to give you guys a couple plays to make those bankrolls balloon. That's right. Get my fans to go get the bag this weekend.
That's Sean King. Never lacking confidence. Did he just hit a 50-yarder? I swear, when you're betting against a kicker, they become Justin Tucker. It's a fact. That's just what happens. Like Michigan State's kicker last week.
Sparty.
It's a nightcap. We got our bankroll plays coming up top of the hour.